So imagine you're walking into like your local coffee shop, right?
Okay.
You order your usual dark roast, but the barista just kind of shakes their head and they tell you that some billionaire just bought up literally all the coffee beans in the city to fuel a private research lab.
Oh, wow.
Right. And if you want a simple cup of coffee today, you're going to have to outbid him for it.
That sounds completely absurd.
It does. It sounds ridiculous. But as we speak, that exact scenario is, quietly playing out inside the technology you use every single day.
Yeah, it really is.
So, welcome to the deep dive, everyone. Today, we've got a massive stack of material centered around the July 26, 2026 edition of the Tekken Knighters newsletter.
Which is a great issue, by the way.
It's packed. They've compiled six major developments across the tech world. But our mission today isn't to just like read you a news ticker. We want to look past the shiny press releases to uncover the hidden human ripple effects of big tech's current obsession with AI and crypto. So, okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah, because when you look at these six developments collectively, and I mean, they cover everything from the sticker shock on your next smartphone to delayed video games, a very clear, honestly somewhat unsettling pattern emerges.
Definitely unsettling.
Right. We are looking at an industry undergoing a profound transformation. The through line connecting all these seemingly isolated events is a fundamental shift in how the tech industry views people. Increasingly, both human talent and, frankly, consumer wallets are being treated as expendable resources, like they're just fuel to be burned in the pursuit of the next big technological leap.
Expendable wallets. Man, that is painfully accurate, especially when we look at our first piece of source material, which hits right at the checkout counter.
Yep, the Google Pixel 11.
Exactly. So Google's VP of Devices, Shakil Barkat, he gave an interview to 9to5 Google, confirming that the upcoming Pixel 11 is getting a significant price hike. But the actual numbers behind this hike are what really caught my eye.
The RAM costs.
Yes. The cost of LPDDR5X memory, which is, the advanced RAM that makes flagship smartphones fast and capable of juggling a dozen apps at once, it jumped from $2.80 in 2025 to $12 in 2026.
Which is just a massive leap.
It is nearly a six times increase in less than 12 months.
It's a staggering jump in component costs. And to be clear, hardware manufacturers are not going to just absorb a 600% markup out of the goodness of their hearts.
Right. No way.
The consumer is going to pay for that.
Exactly. And the rumor mill right now is pointing to the base Pixel 11 launching at $899. That's a $100 bump from the Pixel 10.
Ouch.
Yeah. But here's where it gets genuinely insulting for the consumer. The premium model, the Pixel 11 Pro, is rumored to only come with 12 gigabytes of RAM.
Wait.
Yeah. The Pixel 10 Pro had 16 gigabytes. So you are quite literally paying significantly more money to get less memory.
Yeah, and analysts are projecting this specific hardware shortage will last until like late 2027. This is where your coffee shop analogy from earlier perfectly illustrates the macroeconomic reality here. You're standing at the counter trying to buy a phone, and you
Yeah.
are literally being outbid.
But wait, because Google is out there doing heavy damage control right now, their PR line is that they are deeply, quote, optimizing Android to reduce its dependency on RAM.
Right.
I have to push back on that for a second. From a technical standpoint, can software optimization ever truly replace the need for more powerful hardware? Or is that just them spinning a downgrade to make it sound like an upgrade?
Look, it is predominantly PR spin designed to soften a very harsh blow.
I knew it.
I mean, software optimization is great, right? It can definitely make an operating system run more efficiently. But you cannot code your way out of a physical hardware deficit.
Because it's a physical limitation.
Exactly. If an app requires a certain amount of memory to stay open in the background, no amount of clever coding changes the laws of physics. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the underlying reason you are paying more for less RAM is because everyday consumers are now in direct physical competition with AI data centers.
Wait, how so? A massive data center isn't using smartphone RAM, are they?
Well, not exactly the same chip, but they use the exact same manufacturing pipeline.
Oh, I see.
Companies like OpenAI, Microsoft, and Google itself are building these massive server farms to train these trillion-parameter AI models. And those servers require high bandwidth memory, or HBM, and high-end DDR5 memory.
Which comes from the same factories.
Right. The suppliers who actually make this stuff, companies like Samsung and SK Hynix, physically cannot manufacture enough memory chips to supply both the insatiable AI boom and the consumer smartphone market at the same time.
They're just totally tapped out.
Their fabrication plants are completely maxed out. So the AI revolution isn't just this abstract software magic happening up in the cloud. It has severe real-world supply chain consequences. The physical resources meant for our phones are being diverted to AI.
Which is actively emptying the consumer's wallet. That is wild. We are subsidizing the AI boom just by trying to, you know, upgrade our phones.
We really are.
And that brings us to a really dark contradiction. Because AI isn't just eating up the physical resources like RAM. It's actively being used as a mechanism to eliminate human resources.
The Monday.com layoffs.
Yes. For anyone listening who hasn't used it, Monday.com is a massive project management platform. And they recently announced a sudden layoff of 630 employees, which is roughly 20% of their entire workforce.
A huge cut.
Huge. And the official reason given by the co-CEOs was that they are transitioning to a, quote, flatter organization built around AI agents and autonomous teams.
Essentially claiming AI is going to do all the heavy lifting now.
Right. But the SEC filings paint a completely different and, frankly, baffling picture. These layoffs are costing the company between $45 and $55 million in severance and legal fees.
Which is not cheap.
Not at all. Yet, despite dropping a fifth of their staff and burning $50 million to do it, they told investors they expect to maintain the exact same 19 to 20% annual revenue growth they had before the cuts.
So they're projecting zero loss and forward momentum while amputating 20% of the company.
Exactly. And a recent Tech Times report backs up how common this is becoming, noting that AI has been the leading excuse for U.S. job cuts for four consecutive months in 2026.
Wow. 4 months.
Yeah. But you go on Glassdoor and you read reviews from these devastated Monday.com employees. People are saying they were fired mid-project with zero warning. Teams were just gutted overnight.
But Wall Street loved it, right?
Oh, they ate it up. The stock actually rose 3.5% after the announcement. So my question is this. If laying people off costs up to $55 million and you still expect the exact same aggressive growth, where is that growth actually coming from?
That's the million-dollar question.
Are these magical AI agents really doing the work of 630 people, or are they just squeezing the remaining 80% of the staff to do the jobs of the people who left?
Well, all historical data and current labor trends point heavily to the latter.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You're touching on a really grim shift in how the tech industry views human capital. Historically, tech companies announce massive layoffs during actual economic downturns.
Right, like a recession hits.
Exactly. A recession hits, consumer spending drops, your revenues plummet, so you cut staff as a survival mechanism. But that is not what is happening here.
Because Monday.com is highly profitable.
Highly profitable. What we are seeing now is profitable companies using the narrative of AI efficiency as a convenient smokescreen for aggressive cost cutting.
Wow.
I mean, an AI agent in 2026 is impressive, but it is not a fully autonomous employee. It's a tool.
Right. It still needs someone to use it.
And when that tool inevitably encounters an edge case or breaks down, a human has to step in and fix it. So the remaining 80% of the staff aren't just doing their own jobs. They are managing the AI, fixing its mistakes, and absorbing the workload of their fired colleagues.
It's shadow work.
Exactly.
The company gets to say they are an AI-driven, forward-thinking organization, which sounds incredibly sexy to shareholders, rather than admitting they are just overburdening their workforce to juice the profit margins.
Precisely. And as you pointed out with that 3.5% stock bump, the market actively rewards this behavior. Investors are enthusiastically applauding the reduction of human talent, provided it's packaged with the buzzword of AI innovation.
It's a brutal environment for a tech worker right now.
It really is.
And it creates this deeply ironic paradox, because on one hand, you have companies eagerly dumping human talent to appease Wall Street. But almost simultaneously, you have mega corporations engaging in unprecedented legal warfare to trap the human talent they actually want to keep.
Ah, you're referring to the Warner Bros. Discovery lawsuit against Amazon?
Yes.
This one is sending massive shockwaves through the entertainment tech sector.
It is a massive escalation. So Warner Bros. Discovery, or WBD, filed a lawsuit in California Superior Court accusing Amazon of, quote, illegally poaching their employees.
Right.
And the flashpoint of this lawsuit is an executive named Pia Barlow. She was the executive vice president of originals marketing for HBO Max, and she left that role to become the head of series marketing for Amazon MGM Studios. The sticking point for Warner Bros. Is that her contract was allegedly valid until October 2027.
And Amazon's defense is very straightforward here. They argue that non-compete agreements are overly restrictive and that professionals have a fundamental right to seek better compensation and career advancement.
Sure, but the broader context here is everything. WBD is currently in the middle of negotiating a massive merger with Paramount.
Which always means one thing.
Exactly. Anyone who has spent 10 minutes in the corporate world knows that when two media conglomerates merge, it inevitably triggers a bloodbath of redundancies and layoffs.
Oh, absolutely. Thousands of jobs usually go.
So here's where it gets really interesting. WBD is aggressively suing to enforce a contract, essentially trying to force an employee to stay. But WBD is about to merge with Paramount and likely fire thousands of people anyway.
Yeah.
So if you are an employee and you can clearly see a massive layoff wave staring you in the face, ethically, why should you be legally obligated to go down with a sinking ship just because of a piece of paper?
It's a classic corporate double standard, isn't it?
Completely.
The company wants the absolute flexibility to terminate you at a moment's notice during a merger, but they demand absolute loyalty from you until they make that decision.
It's wild.
But legally, the terminology here is critical, especially in California. We really have to separate a non-compete, which legally stops you from working for a rival and is notoriously difficult to enforce in California, from a non-solicit, which stops you from poaching your former coworkers.
Okay, that makes sense.
So Warner Bros. Is likely trying to leverage a fixed-term contract breach into a broader narrative. What makes this lawsuit so unusual isn't just the contract dispute, it's the aggressively hostile tone.
Yeah, they came out swinging.
They did. They aren't just complaining about one executive leaving. They are accusing Amazon of a systematic pattern of poaching.
So they're trying to frame standard industry recruiting as corporate theft.
Exactly. And what this signals is that the talent war in entertainment tech has reached a fever pitch. In the past, if you wanted to retain your best people, you offered them higher salaries, better equity, or, you know, a better culture.
The normal ways you keep employees happy.
Right. But today, merely competing on compensation isn't enough. Companies are weaponizing the legal system to freeze employee mobility. It's an intimidation tactic.
Like a warning shot to everyone else.
Exactly. It sends a message to the rest of the staff.
Uh-huh.
Do not try to jump ship, even if you think a merger is going to eliminate your job, because we will drag you and your new employer into court.
It's wanting to have total control over people's livelihoods without offering them any actual security in return.
Yep.
And speaking of control, if human talent is so highly valued that mega corporations are suing each other to hoard it, it's deeply ironic that humans are also viewed as the biggest security vulnerability in any tech system.
Ah, yes. The situation at Binance.
Mm.
This perfectly highlights that friction between valuing humans and mistrusting them.
It's wild. According to an interview Jimmy Su, the chief security officer at Binance, gave to Cointelegraph, the company hacks its own employees.
Which is pretty standard, but...
But not just once a year for compliance. Every single month.
Yeah, that's intense.
For the last 3 to 4 years, Binance's internal red team has been relentlessly targeting their own staff with fake phishing emails, highly sophisticated suspicious messages, and even fabricated phone calls.
Wow.
If an employee fails the test by clicking a link or giving out info, they face mandatory security training. If they fail repeatedly, they are terminated.
And their justification for this intense, continuous internal testing is based on a rather staggering statistic. In 2025, 65% of all security incidents across the entire crypto industry were the result of social engineering.
Over half.
Yeah. Not technical bugs, not brute force hacking of cryptographic keys. Social engineering.
Right. So it's not some hacker in a dark hoodie typing furiously to break through a firewall. It's someone pretending to be from HR asking you to update your direct deposit password.
Exactly.
But to put this in perspective for the listener, it's basically like having your boss hire a professional pickpocket to bump into you in the office hallway every single month just to see if you're keeping your wallet zipped up.
That's a great way to put it.
Actually, based on how sophisticated these attacks are getting with deepfakes, it's like The pickpocket is wearing a hyper-realistic mask of your actual manager.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Doesn't this create a deeply paranoid, toxic work environment where you can literally never trust a message from a coworker?
It absolutely creates a zero-trust environment.
Hmm.
And employees have historically reported finding these constant red team exercises invasive and psychologically exhausting.
I would be so stressed out.
You're constantly looking over your shoulder. But what's fascinating here is the brutal calculus of the trade-off. We are talking about a cryptocurrency exchange that holds tens of billions of dollars in user assets.
Right. The stakes are insanely high.
Modern cryptographic ledgers are incredibly secure. Cracking the math is nearly impossible. So attackers attack the weakest link, which is human psychology.
Makes sense.
One tired employee clicking the wrong link on their laptop at 11 p.m. can literally bankrupt the company overnight. Cybersecurity at that level is no longer just a coding issue. It's an organizational culture issue.
So they have to be ruthless.
Right. So Binance is essentially arguing that a baseline level of daily psychological stress for their employees is the necessary non-negotiable price to pay to secure billions of dollars from external psychological attacks.
They are essentially vaccinating their staff with small, continuous doses of anxiety.
That's one way to look at it, yeah.
It's fascinating, but it is a form of forced, highly stressful corporate education, which actually provides a really stark contrast to our fifth piece of source material.
Oh, this is a great pivot.
Because while Binance is using education as a tool of corporate paranoia, there is a completely different kind of tech education happening on the ground, one based entirely on empowerment.
We're moving from the corporate boardrooms of crypto exchanges to the streets of East Africa.
Yes, the story of Anthony Mulowa. He is a Tanzanian blockchain expert and a certified financial educator. And he recently traveled from East Africa to speak at Crypto Expo Dubai. And he brought a very specific, grounded philosophy with him.
Which the industry really needs right now.
Absolutely. His core message to the industry is, we need to teach people how Bitcoin and blockchain actually work mechanically, not just how to profit from them.
He's advocating for foundational education before mass adoption.
Exactly. And the data from Chainalysis really highlights why his work is so critical right now. Africa is experiencing massive, unprecedented crypto adoption.
The numbers are huge.
They are. Looking at the global index, Nigeria ranks second in the world, Kenya is 21st, Tanzania is 24th, and Ghana is 29th. But this explosive adoption is happening in regions that often struggle with low financial literacy, weak traditional banking infrastructure, and unfortunately, a high prevalence of digital fraud.
Right, which makes it very risky.
Yet, despite those risks, you see a country like Tanzania making a massive pivot. In 2019, they had a strict anti-crypto stance. But by 2024, they officially began levying a 3% tax on digital asset transactions.
Which is a massive legitimizing step. I mean, taxation is the ultimate form of government recognition.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't tax something you consider entirely illegitimate?
Right. So what does this all mean for the global perspective? When I look at this, I can't help but feel that we in the West are entirely too focused on the casino aspect of crypto.
The speculation.
Yeah. We treat it like day trading meme coins or innovating complex financial derivatives. Meanwhile, millions of people in Africa are simply trying to use it as a basic bank account because their local currency might be suffering from inflation, and the only financial tool they have access to is a mobile phone.
I think you hit on the exact dynamic Mulowa is trying to highlight. In the West, cryptocurrency is largely a speculative asset.
Right.
But in many African nations, it serves a fundamental utilitarian purpose. If you don't have access to a traditional brick-and-mortar bank, but you have a smartphone, crypto gives you the ability to store wealth, hedge against local inflation, and send value across borders instantly to family members.
It's basically a lifeline.
It is infrastructure. However, Maloa's point is crucial here. Adopting this technology without foundational education is incredibly dangerous for vulnerable populations.
Because of the scams and fraud?
Exactly. The fact that Tanzania is shifting from a ban to a tax framework shows that governments realize they can't simply suppress the technology. But to bridge those severe infrastructural gaps safely, you can't just drop an app on someone's phone.
Right.
You need educators on the ground teaching the mechanics how private keys work, how to spot a scam rather than just selling the hype.
It's such a refreshing human-centric take, you know, championing transparency and real education to actually protect and help people. But transparency is definitely not the standard operating procedure everywhere in tech.
Definitely not.
Which brings us to our final story. This one perfectly encapsulates how the video game industry handles communication. Specifically, how they try to hide the ugly reality of corporate restructuring behind shiny, impenetrable PR statements.
You're talking about the current situation at Bethesda Game Studios.
Exactly. So Xbox recently executed a massive wave of layoffs that hit Bethesda Game Studios incredibly hard.
Just devastating cuts.
Yeah. And naturally, fans immediately started panicking about the development of The Elder Scrolls VI, which is easily one of the most anticipated video games of the entire decade.
Oh, without a doubt.
So in response to the panic, Bethesda gave a very brief, very firm statement to the popular gaming YouTuber Mr. Matty Plays, simply saying, quote, "No, the roadmap is unaffected."
A very clean, reassuring PR line designed to end the conversation.
But then you look at the internal leaks reported by IGN, and the reality inside the studio is completely different.
It usually is.
Right. Internal developers are leaking that there is massive, crushing pressure on the remaining teams. Long-planned side projects have been completely canceled, so every single remaining employee can be diverted to Elder Scrolls VI.
Wow.
And most tellingly, they are leaning heavily on external, temporary contractors to fill the massive talent void left by the fired employees. So let's tie this all together. We heard Google claim they can just optimize software to make up for less RAM. We heard Monday.com claim AI agents will easily replace 20% of their staff without slowing growth. And now, Bethesda claims slapping external contractors into the mix and canceling side projects won't affect the quality or timeline of their biggest game.
It's a running theme.
It really is. But honestly, at what point does relentlessly reducing the human workforce actually break the final product?
This raises an important question about the future of AAA game development and really the tech industry at large. Video games are incredibly complex software ecosystems. Millions of lines of interconnected code.
Yeah.
You cannot simply fire a senior developer who holds a decade of institutional knowledge and replace them with two temporary contractors who don't understand the underlying architecture.
It just doesn't work that way.
It doesn't. There's a breaking point where you cut so close to the bone that the structural integrity of the project fails. Bethesda is currently attempting a massive high-wire act.
That's a good way to put it.
If The Elder Scrolls VI launches, and it is a massive, critical, and commercial success, it unfortunately validates this brutal strategy.
Oh, that's true.
It becomes a dangerous new model for the industry. Fire your full-time staff to appease the balance sheet, enforce extreme crunch on whoever is lucky enough to survive the layoffs, and patch the remaining holes with gig economy contractors.
It sets a precedent that human developers are just interchangeable cogs in a machine.
Exactly. But if the game launches and it's a buggy, disjointed technical mess, it proves the exact opposite.
Right.
It will demonstrate to investors and executives the hard way that deep institutional human talent cannot just be cut away or casually replaced by contractors without catastrophic consequences to the quality of the final product.
So they are taking a massive existential gamble with their flagship franchise just to hit a quarterly cost-cutting goal.
Pretty much.
And that really brings us full circle on the overarching narrative we've been unpacking today. From paying a premium for a smartphone with downgraded memory because AI data centers are hoarding all the physical RAM.
To losing your livelihood because your profitable company wants the Wall Street stock bump associated with an AI restructuring.
To being legally intimidated and barred from taking a better job just as your current company prepares to merge and fire people, and facing monthly psychological warfare from your own IT department just to ensure the company's billions stay safe.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. The rapid, breathless evolution of technology right now is incredible to watch, but it is currently passing its heaviest costs, both financial and deeply emotional, directly onto everyday consumers and everyday employees.
And if there is one final thought you should take away from all this source material, it's really about the illusion of control.
How so?
Well, the Ticket Nighters newsletter correctly notes that the future rests in the hands of those who decide how to use these tools. But consider this. As tech conglomerates relentlessly optimize their physical hardware to the absolute limits of physics, as they deploy AI agents to ruthlessly streamline the workforce, and as they engineer perfectly paranoid zero-trust security protocols, it seems the only variable they haven't figured out how to fully control yet is the human being.
Wow.
What happens when the tech industry finally realizes that the ultimate inefficiency they are trying to engineer out of existence is us?
That is a genuinely chilling thought to end on, but an incredibly important one to keep in mind as we watch these headlines continue to roll by. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the real human costs of the tech revolution. Keep questioning the official narratives, look for the hidden patterns, and we'll see you next time.